Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It occurred to me as I was preparing the opening illustration for the sermon how many times I use my grandmother as an illustration in my messages. And I have been lately, I don't know why, but it does, I think, highlight, at least for me, how important grandparents are. There are a lot of stories that come to mind that I still remember. And this story really isn't about my grandmother. It's about my grandma's dog. Renee was her name. She was a poodle. You know, poodles are kind of fancier than most. And so I remember grandma would really dote on this dog, you know, painting the nails and fixing the hair and all that stuff, right? And but there was something about Renee, which I didn't know at first, but Renee was blind. She couldn't see. And this was my first experience as a young person with blindness, and so I was really fascinated by it. I think that's why I still remember it today. But I remember that Renee could navigate the house pretty well from day to day, and I guess that's why I was so amazed, is how can this dog, you know where everything is? She can't see it. And you would hardly even know she was blind most days. That is until somebody moved the furniture, right? I mean, if you've ever seen this before, all of a sudden she'd be wandering in the house and, you know, a chair got moved. She'd run into it like, how did that get there? You know, all of a sudden. And as a young person, I have to confess that I found it pretty funny that, you know, she would just bump into something and just be so surprised by it. But as we transition now, I don't want anyone to be offended here today, but when it comes to our sin, especially in the season of Lent, we have to confess that we're all a bit like Renee, blind dogs. I say this because too often we are blind to the depth of our sin. We don't recognize, for example, all the different ways that we sin. We just confessed in the confession things we've done, things we've left undone. Sometimes we pray for, you know, forgive me, Lord, for those things that I don't even know that I've committed. In addition, we don't always fully recognize the impact that our sin has on ourselves or other people or our relationship with God. Scripture says, and we just confess this, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But sometimes we blindly, and sometimes not so blindly, if we're honest, act, speak, and think in ways that break God's commandments. We certainly don't live up to Jesus' summation of the commandments by always loving God and our neighbor perfectly. And so I want to ask, how can this be? It doesn't seem right when we first hear this. If we are children of the light, why is it that we don't always walk in the light? Why do God's children who have been washed in the blood of Jesus continue to sin? The short answer is that we are blind, like Renee. And until Jesus comes and reveals himself to us, we are even blind to our own blindness. We don't even know we're blind. But once our Savior comes, once we are baptized into the faith, we begin this healing process. The scales, it's like scales removed from our eyes. We begin to see, like the man born blind in our gospel reading. We begin to see for the first time. We can see that we still have the blemish of sin in our lives. And by faith, we can also see Jesus for who he truly is, our Savior, who has paid the price for that sin. Sometimes when I hear these stories from the gospel that include the Pharisees, I kind of feel sorry for them. You know, I mean, how can they not get it here? I get a little frustrated at times. If you look at verse 41 again, you know, they ask Jesus if they too are blind, right? And what they're insinuating here, what they're implying is that they really aren't blind. You know, are we really blind? Because I think I'm not, right? Surely they can see, they think to themselves. I mean, after all, they are the religious leaders of the Jews. But Jesus says, if you were blind, meaning if you knew and confessed your blindness, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. What they're getting at here is they don't think that they really need God's help. They're doing pretty good on their own. They don't need a Savior. They have built a hedge around the law, laws around the laws to keep them from breaking God's law. Their real problem here, their true and biggest problem, is that they don't even recognize God as He's standing right there in front of them. They are blind. They're blind. In their focus on the letter of the law, they have lost sight of the Spirit, the purpose of the law. And in their pride, they have let sin and Satan come into their faith lives and move the furniture, change the message of God's plan of salvation. It's like when us kids would move the furniture at Grandma's house to see how Renee would respond by bumping into it. But this change isn't funny. It's deadly. Changing God's word, right? The Pharisees could no longer see God as their Savior. They saw their own merit as the reason for their salvation. Like Renee, they kept bumping into things when it came to Jesus' teaching. In this case, they kept bumping into their own sinfulness and their lack of faith. Jesus did not come to give you the power to keep the law perfectly. You cannot do it in this world of sin. You already have been stained by sin in this world. You will not know the perfection of Christ until He returns, not fully. Until then, we can only rely on Christ's righteousness to save us. In the end, Christians are forgiveness people. We are forgiven people. We are not perfect people who, even as we seek to live out our lives of holiness according to God's word, right, we still seek to live by that word. Even as we do that, though, our eyes are open to the fact, the truth, that we are all lawbreakers. We are at the same time saint and sinner, as Martin Luther once expressed it, who need God's forgiveness to be saved from ourselves and the consequence of the law. By the law, you and I, all of us, are guilty. There's no denying it. We just said it. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But this is the good news, that Jesus has come to save you, to take the sentence of your guilt upon Himself. In God's mercy and grace, Jesus came, just as Susan showed on the little devotion, right? He came to die for you, blind dogs that we are, so that you and I could be brought to see that we are blind, much in need of God's mercy and grace poured out in abundance in Christ, who just wants to make sure that you can see Him and recognize Him for who He truly is, so that He can meet you in the midst of your life every day and have a relationship with you. Don't get me wrong. We still need God's unchanging law to live in this world. The law gives us consequences when we trespass against God's goodwill for us. The law reminds us that we are sinners who deserve God's judgment. Martin Luther, I think, very astutely outlined the three uses of God's law in the Small Catechism when he said the law is a curb that stops us from doing wrong things, that the law is a mirror that shows us our sinfulness and our need for Jesus, our Savior, as we've been saying. And third, the law is a guide to show us how to live in grateful response to being His children, to being children of the light, to being baptized and restored by Christ. But we do not worship the law. And our focus is not on the law to save us. The law's most important use is to show us how blind we are. And that's a paradox for us that creates this tension as we walk out our faith here below. The law opens our eyes to the fact that on our own we are blind and we are unable to keep the law apart from our faith in Christ. What we need more than anything else in this world is someone who can open our eyes, someone who can show us our desperate condition and then pay the price that our blindness has cost. And the law cannot do that. The law cannot save us. Only Jesus can do this. Heal our blindness, forgive our sin, and restore our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Without the hope of the gospel of Jesus, we are just like the Pharisees, afraid to open our eyes to the truth standing right in front of us. Without the hope of forgiveness, what is left but to try harder, to add more laws around the laws? Without the hope of forgiveness that Jesus offers, we're afraid to even admit that we have sinned because we know what the consequences are. We would be cut off, cast out like the blind man from the synagogue. No grace. Without the gospel, all that is left for blind dogs to do is to try to change God's good law like the Pharisees did, to make it possible for us to keep the law, at least in our own minds, and to try and win salvation for ourselves. But this is not the promise, the truth of the gospel. Thanks be to God that the words of John 3:17 still echo in our ears from a couple of weeks ago in the gospel reading. Hear these words from the Lord again. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. You see, God gave us the law not so that He could condemn us, or that we would be perfect in this world, at least not yet, until Christ returns. God's law and the gospel of Christ help us to see our dire, sinful, hopeless condition and then turn around in humility. Focus not on the law, but on Jesus and His grace alone, His mercy alone. And then we hear these words that we also just spoke together in the service. And God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is why we return to these words every week when we come in worship. So let me ask you in this season of Lent, what are you still bumping into? That's the title of the message today, right? Like Renee. What are you still bumping into? What are your blind spots? Lent is a perfect time to get honest with yourselves. And before you answer that question too quickly, take a moment here and learn what the Pharisees have to teach us from this passage. Because their inability to see Jesus as the Messiah standing right in front of them starts with their pride. When Jesus confronted them, he said, "Because you say we see, your guilt remains." So ask yourself this Lent, what is it that keeps blinding me to my condition? What makes it so hard for me to see and to confess all my sin and to say that I'm a sinner? What hardens me in my own position as I argue with God or with other people in this world or even with yourself? Isn't it pride? Pride keeps us focused on the law, locked up, really. Because by the law, we try to keep score in our relationships and convince ourselves that we are better off than somebody next to us, right? And we compare ourselves. And once we have run down those around us, we can try to justify our own actions and feel better about ourselves. Just look at the way the Pharisees treated the man born blind in the gospel. At one point, they say to him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us? Can you hear it?" This man who Jesus heals of blindness, who is able to speak words of faith more clearly than these Pharisees who have studied the scriptures their whole lives, "Would you teach us?" And the man simply speaks the truth of what Jesus did for him. "I was blind, and now I see." It's not complicated. And in their pride, the Pharisees couldn't see it. And they drove the man out of the synagogue. So where is pride blinding you today? Listen, during this season of Lent, listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit alive and active in you. You received it the day you were baptized, right? Listen to God's voice. Where are you prideful today? Where are you self-righteous? Where is your heart hardening? What parts of your life are you not letting Jesus into? You see, he is with you every day, every moment, and he wants to be let in to all parts of your life. His love, his mercy, his grace are unconditional for you by faith. It's Lent. This is an opportunity for us to open our eyes and to see the cross in a new way, to behold our salvation. Because on this journey of Lent, we are headed to Good Friday. The gospel, in its purest form, when all is stripped away, Jesus died for you and for your sin. He willingly did that because he loves you. And now, you are healed. Now your eyes have been opened. Now you have been forgiven by God himself. And now you can see God in a way that you couldn't before. But more importantly, in Christ, you have the peace and the strength and the comfort in knowing that God sees you as his beloved child. Carry that with you this week and every day until Christ returns. And now may the peace which surpasses all understanding, may it keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.